Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of Growing Up the Same. I'm your host, Trevon Edwards, joined by my co-host, Jason Madison. And we have a special guest today, Jamal Crawford. What's going on, Mal?
Chilling, bro. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on again, for sure.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being on, brother. We appreciate it.
You know, had to get you out the pool. Had to get you out the pool for this one, Jay.
Exactly. Now, I want to introduce you, Jamal Crawford, professional basketball player, veteran of the NBA. three-time Sixth Man of the Year award winner.
Yeah.
The one or the two. You ready?
Let's do it.
Goodfellas or Godfather?
You can't go wrong, but I'm going with Goodfellas.
Yeah. J. Cole or Kendrick?
Oh, you tripping. Nah, that's tough, bro. Now that's they got to do a joint album. They
got to
do a joint album.
Yeah. The Lucas chili powder or Hot Cheetos?
Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. Flintstones or Jetsons?
The Jetsons. The Flintstones was classic, but the Jetsons was living in the sky. They was on some futuristic stuff. I got to go with them.
I feel it. Drew League or Rucker Park?
Rucker only because it's outdoor. In essence, I grew up on like playing growing up with OGs was playing outside. So when you played inside, that was like a blessing. But no disrespect, Drew League is, you know, they're legendary. So ain't no disrespect at all. But just the outdoor environment, the way I grew up, you know, and being there and playing there, you know, that's like no other.
Yep. The 3-point shot or and one?
Three, but especially off the cross. So I'm going with the three.
Yeah. And one or Under Armour?
I ain't never wore Under Armour. I'm going to go and one because I started my career wearing that. And just the whole movement with Skip to My Lou and Hot Sauce and like watching them tapes and stuff. So I'm going and one.
Them tapes was legendary.
Man, I was carrying the tape everywhere. Every friend's house I went to, I'd pop it in the VCR.
Yeah.
And just watch it.
Nah, for sure. The soundtrack, everything.
Everything. Man,
set it off.
Crazy.
Magic or Bird?
Magic. And no disrespect, Bird.
Right.
Bird's a killer. But Magic, that's my second favorite player ever. So.
Yeah, who's your first?
The person behind you on the wall. jumping from the free throw line. The one that allowed you to dream.
We call him MJ.
Yeah, for real. I like that. MJ.
Yeah. Would you rather be a young gunner or a wily veteran?
Oh, that's a good one. And the young gunner because, like, you don't even know what you're about to experience. You don't know the world that's in front of you. You feel like you can take on the world. But the wily veteran is like you've been there and seen that, and you know what's on the other side of that, you know? So to still be effective and still be – and have that wisdom, that's kind of priceless.
Yeah, wisdom. Yeah. Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson?
Man, Deion. Prime's my guy. But Bo was – you can't go wrong. But Prime, I had the Deion shoes, so I got to go with him too.
Yeah, I had them as well.
Yeah.
Black Sox or White Sox?
Black. Really white, but when the Fab Five wore black, that was it for me. I'm on some Black Sox. I'm staying with Fab Five. Black.
You prefer a back massage or a foot massage?
Back massage. I shoot a lot, man. You saw me play. I shoot a lot. My arms be sore.
Yeah, for sure. Beats or rhymes?
Rhymes for sure, but beats is the first thing that catches your attention when it come on.
Yeah.
But I'm more into lyrics. Like, I like to know what somebody's saying. Hopefully, they're saying something.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a short life with a lot of money or a long life with not a lot?
A long life with not a lot. Like, I've never been one that money, like, made me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great to be able to help people. And, like, money that even leaves me doesn't usually even go to me. Like, it goes other places. So, for me, a long life. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Rakim or Big Daddy Kane?
Rakim. Rakim. They both legends, but Rakim.
God MC.
Yeah, he can't go wrong with him.
Wizards Jordan or Celtics Shaq?
Wizards Jordan. You know what's crazy about the Wizards Jordan is that his first year, him and Kobe were the only ones averaging 25 points and 5 assists at one point in the season. And he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And he ended up averaging 22. But, like, he was so good that as a 40-year-old averaging 20-plus points, we said it was a down year for him. Think about that.
Like, that was crazy. The only time I actually got to see him was they played against the Clippers because nobody, you know what I'm saying, Pops wasn't going to play the Lakers.
Yeah.
They played the Clippers, and I went to see him play the Clippers on the Wizards, and he put up 23 that night. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, and I played against him with the Wizards, which is crazy. Yeah. There's footage of that, actually. I just watched it.
Oh, that's wild. A
couple months back, yep.
D. Rose or Grant Hill before the injuries?
Man, man, I'm the biggest of both their fans, but Grant was like, I like size at that position. You know what I'm saying? Almost like being able to play point guard at 6'8" and be able to do all the things he could do. He was something different. In a way, to me, he was like LeBron before LeBron. Not the power, but skill set wise. You know what I mean? Like somebody could do everything on the court, kind of that point forward.
Right.
But everybody knows D-Rose is one of my favorites ever. Like, so that's tough. If you gave me two positions closer, that'd be easier, but that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. He got game or above the rim?
Oh, man. He got game was personal to me because I feel like that was my life in high school when I started to kind of make my name, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But above the rim, anything with Pac in it, this right. is like too iconic. I got to go with that one.
Yeah. And he got game was just – it felt so realistic, you know?
Like, bro, it felt like I was living that every day. Like the recruiting where everybody was like, where's he going to go? Like it felt like I was living that life every single day. Now, everything, obviously, I wasn't, you know, getting money or offers like right. that. But it right. was like – it went to that extent. But it was very, very similar to that for sure.
Would you rather own a yacht or own a plane?
Both of them is not good for investment-wise. But if I had to own one –
yeah,
I'm going to say yacht just for the simple fact I don't like being in the air that long, so I wouldn't use it. Or I would own the plane and just rent it out sheer hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instagram or Twitter?
Twitter. I don't even have Instagram.
Yeah. The last one, Mac or PC?
Which one's the iPad? Which one's that closest to?
That's Mac. That's Apple.
I'm going Mac then. I'm going Mac. Yeah, I'm going Mac. It can take you anywhere for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I should have flipped it and asked you all them same questions, dog.
You should have.
I should have. Next time, though, that's part Next three. Time,
yeah.
Hey, part three, that's what I'm saying it right now. Part three, Jay, I'm asking you the one, too.
Okay, that's
so be bet. Ready.
I'm going to be ready.
I should do a preview right now, but it's cool. I'm going to let you live. Part three.
Let me slide.
All right.
All right, back to Trey. What you got?
All right, so I'm going to just jump right into it, man. Tell me about this baby blue Oldsmobile you had.
Man, how you know about that?
Hey, man, come on.
it was my first car. And it was, I think I was 16 or 17, my sister bought it for me. And it's crazy looking back now because she bought it for like $800. But you would never know, like it was a brand new paint job. I think that's when Amco? Who's doing painting that thing? I think Amco was painted. Yeah, it was painted. It was clean. I had my little 12-disc CD changer in there. You know, so I thought, man, I was on top of the world. Sometimes I'd get out the car and just stare. Like, man, that's mine. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that was my first car, bro. I may have to go cop that again somewhere. Because that was my car. That was my ride.
Yeah. You had it when you were 16?
Yeah, but the fact you know about that is more alarming than anything.
Hey, man, you know. Hey, you Jamal Crawford, man.
Man, I ain't nobody, bro.
It's a lot of stuff that's on out there in the universe.
Yeah, for real.
So in high school, obviously, you know, before getting on the right track at Rainier, used to ditch school, right? Tell me about your run-in with Paul Pierce.
Okay. So we're both from my family in LA live in Inglewood, right? Okay. So I live in Inglewood and Paul obviously lived in Inglewood. So we happened to go to the same barbershop. And my man Hoop, shout out to Hoop Cameron Mays. And he's, you know, always had like AU teams. He's always had like people come in his barbershop. I remember seeing, not to sidetrack, but I remember seeing Malik Seeley, rest in peace, in the barbershop. I remember seeing Stephon Marbury in the barbershop. I remember seeing Derek Martin in the barbershop in high school. But he always had people, like, you know, come to a shop. So one day Paul was in there. And I don't know how we started talking. But it was the afternoon. It was one of the days I was ditching school. And so we kind of went back and forth. He kind of eyeing me. I'm kind of eyeing him. And he's like, I'm like, man, it's the Paul Pierce everybody keep talking about. And maybe I was a little disrespectful because, he, you know, I'm a freshman. I think freshman, I'm going to be a sophomore. And Paul was a senior at the time. So he already did his work, put in work, All-American, all that. And he looked at me for a second and said, like, how you going to question me? Why you ain't in school right now? Why are you supposed to be in class? I'm like, well, you ain't in school. He's like, I'm a senior. You know, like, I'm on my whatever schedule we had or whatever. You know, he had his classes done. And I was just, you know, we went back and forth. Who knew that at that point we were both end up in the NBA? You know, I think, obviously, when you're that high, ranked that high, obviously, people kind of figured he'd be in the NBA. But for me, I hadn't done nothing. So the fact that we can look back at it now and both like left our mark in different ways in the NBA is crazy, because we were just kids in high school, you know? And so, yeah, that story is legendary. It's something neither one of us ever forgot.
Right. So also while ditching, you ran into some Crips?
Yeah. No, well, the other way around.
Okay, so the Crips ran into you.
Yeah. No. I ran into Bloods.
Oh, some Bloods. Okay. Some Bloods. Okay.
Yeah. What happened was I didn't know the rules because I'm coming from Seattle, right? Okay. So, and actually at this time I wasn't ditching. I was in eighth grade going to Dorsey, right? And not really knowing my surroundings. I'm coming from Seattle, so I don't really know my surroundings. Bro, I'm in a blue. Remember I talked about the Fab Five, right? So it's going to all make sense. I'm in a blue t-shirt. Mm-hmm. A blue Chris Webber Golden State jersey, some blue jeans, the Penny Hardaways with some blue laces, bro.
So you had the Penny Twos with the blue laces?
Bro, I'm out here all wrong. Like, yeah. For where I was going. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not knowing all this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not knowing all this at all. So the whole – and dude came from across the street from the Jays. Jungle, he came across the street. And I see a bunch of people on the side kind of watching the whole thing. And he's like, man, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Seattle. So when I said that, instantly he knew I didn't know what I was getting into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He knew I didn't know what was going on. So I'm like, man, I'm from Seattle. He's like, oh, I had a bracelet on. It was a fake bracelet. He's like, all right, give me that bracelet. And next time you need to know where you at and, you know, boom.
All right.
And he basically gave me a pass. Bro, it's my first time ever going to Dorsey. So I look up. And I just happened to be on the outside of the school, but I was on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So I had to walk around. I remember walking in and telling some of my future teammates, like, yo, man, dude just took my breath. So they're like, oh, let's get back to working out. Like, it was nothing. Yeah. I'm like, dang, okay. So, yeah, that was one of them for sure.
Yeah, I had one of those similar situations with the two-way. I just transferred to Compton High. And maybe I was doing a little too much. I had two two-ways on my belt buckle and the StarTAC flip phone.
Yeah,
and this dude from Spooktown came up to me and was like, hey man, I heard you sell two ways. I'm like, yeah. He let me see it. I'm good. I'm like, okay. You know, so another person was like, yeah, he good for it. And he walked away and I ran up on him and grabbed him by his shoulder. And he pulled the pistol out and placed it to my rib. And I was like, You got it.
Wow.
I was like, you got it. But everybody else broke. So like I'm going into practice and they like, what's wrong with him? My coach come in. What's wrong with him? They like, Trey got robbed. He like, what? So he go get the school police. The school police caught him because dude was walking. So they made it look like I snitched. And I was like, nah, I ain't even say nothing, bro. It was my teammate that told on me. Like, pretty much told on, like, what happened. And I was like, bro, don't do that. Because I got to still come here. And I also lived in a Blood neighborhood going to all Crip school. So – It was different, man, going over there to Compton High every day. And Dominguez was kind of partially Crips, too. So
Right.
Just going to both Compton schools. The only Blood school that's all Blood schools is Centennial. And, like, that West Side was just a whole – even if I lived in a Blood neighborhood from the East Side, going to the West Side was just out. Like, we two different –
It's out, right.
Yeah, we two different people. So, like, that was definitely a learning experience.
It was so tough to navigate the West Side, East Side politics, being in high school and being on the bus in L.A. Luckily, like, my dad went to Crenshaw. He knew everything. Like, he worked at Eagle Park Cemetery. He knows everybody. You know what I'm saying? So he would always be on me about colors and wearing certain shit. You know?
Right.
Because I ended up at Verbum Day, which is in Watts. My grandmother's house in the 60s off of Arlington and 60th by Van Ness Park. So,
Van Ness.
You feel me?
I lived in L.A. I lived off of 81st and 2nd Avenue. 2nd Avenue literally is a block over from Van Ness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I used to always go to 76th and because they had dunkable hoops at the school at the time. So I always walked down there, straight down Van Ness to go to 76th, dunking and everything.
Yeah.
So you know how it is. That's in between.
That's
I'm right between everything. But not to cut you off.
I was just saying, like, you know, like, just in that area, you know, like, you just run into niggas, like, in the morning, you know what I'm saying, on some stupid shit, niggas trying to patch your pockets, niggas trying to do everything. Like, I'm like, bro, like.
And bro, what? How old are you, Jay?
I'm 33.
Okay, so you was in like the, because I was in the mid 90s. Yeah. You was like early 2000 era.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, I was, and it was wild, bro. Like at the time, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it was, I went to high school, it's 93.
Yeah.
93, right? No, 93. Yeah, 93, 94, something like that. Right. 94. Right. So it was just a wild time at that time.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. That was when Cass was really getting their stripes right after the riots when shit was crazy.
Yeah.
I just remember being a kid and things being wild around me. My uncle ran a liquor store actually off of like Slauson, you know what I'm saying? Over there. And so I would be in the back watching the cameras and just seeing people come in and just, you know what I'm saying, just watching the neighborhood. And I was like, this is a lot going on.
So what movie is it? I believe I'm trying to think if it's either Boys in the Hood or Menace to Society. It's one or the other. Which one did they go? I think it was Boys in the Hood. I'm almost sure it was Boys in the Hood. When Cube saw them in the parking lot and they was eating the burgers or whatever. Was that Boys in the Hood?
It's Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
So my grandma literally worked across the street from that place.
Yeah.
Like right there, like going, because she used to take me to school in the morning and then she'd go to her job. It was close by. You know what I mean? So it was just like navigating through all that was crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me more about draft night being drafted by the Cavs and then traded for Chris Mill.
Bro, it was crazy because when I first put my name in, people thought I was crazy. I'll never forget, there was an article in Seattle and the guy was like, imagine just a year ago walking to any gym and everybody knows your name and your game. You're the most famous person in there, yada, yada, yada. But now you're about to disappear and go play in Serbia or in Russia. And he's like, that was just Jamal Crawford a year ago. That's what he wrote when I announced I was coming out. So I held that article at the time. You know what? Social media, so it was newspaper. So I held that newspaper in my room, read it every day, go work out three times a day preparing for the draft. So going through the draft process, I'm not really, you know, highly regarded. I go to Chicago camp, tear it up, and now everybody's like, he's a lottery pick, so I kept my name in. So the part that caught me off guard was like, I never worked out for Cleveland. Never talked to him, never nothing, right? But I got invited to the draft, and when the cameras come around, it means you're about to be drafted. So I'm like, Cleveland Cavaliers section. I'm like, they make a mistake. Like, I ain't never talked to these people. I'm not knowing the politics of the NBA, right, and how business works. I'm like, damn, all right. So I have my hat on. I'm doing my press conference, and they tell me during my press conference talking about Cleveland, I just got traded to Chicago. I just saw that clip too. I've been bored here in some ways. So when I'm, especially in quarantine, when I couldn't leave for a week, so I'm watching a lot of old stuff. And I had everybody start cracking up because I was like, they say you just got drafted to Chicago. Well, I mean, I always loved Chicago, man. Everybody start cracking up. But that's where I thought, because no, I don't think I've ever said this. On the day of the draft, or maybe I did, I had all Chicago Bulls gear on.
Oh, wow.
Everything, T-shirt, cutoff, shorts.
But I mean, you from the umbrella of Jordan, so I get it.
Yeah, but I was there for 3 days. My workout, we hit it off. It just seemed like the right fit. You know what I'm saying? So I still had, you know, they give you gear when you go to these workouts. So I just had mine on that day, and it ended up playing out that way. You know, within an hour, I was traded to the Bulls.
That's sick, man. Right. That's young Hedman Mall right there too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Tell me about shooting at 60 Blue.
At Hoops Me.
I probably it's during when I think we were working out with MJ.
Hoops is the court, right? Hoops is the court, the gym.
Okay.
And 160 Blue is right next door. That's his restaurant.
So, oh, yeah, it's so restaurant. Hoops, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So Hoops is it was crazy, bro. Like working out with him, and like, cause you know, when you're a young player, you got to work out your team first. Mm-hmm. So I had to go from Chicago work out with the Bulls early in the morning and go early enough I could get down there to play with them. They usually play in the afternoon or whatever. And so just that experience, bro, like being with him every single day, then, you know, it was always like a routine. We'd go play for 3 hours, then we'd go to the restaurant, chill out for hours, and then do it all over again every day. So just being with him and like them experiences, going to his house, and like, I can't even say I dreamed about that. Like even meeting Michael Jordan when I was a kid would be everything, but for him to know your name and have you around and all that, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a dream come true.
Hey, or
something,
man,
you don't even dream about.
That's how I feel right now, man. This is always a joyous moment. Obviously, we're
cool. Come on, man. Hey, man.
But I'm just saying. At the end of the day, man, we're gonna give you your flowers, bro. Like, you know, obviously, you watch Mike. I watch Mike, but you also made it cool for a young black boy, for real. Obviously, everybody was rooting for Rayford, right? Shouts to Rayford.
Yeah.
But
shout to Skip.
You never changed your game. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I think that means a lot to that's what representation we lack sometimes. You feel me? Like
yeah.
You play for certain coaches and you come from certain cities, we got a certain bop in our game.
For
and
sure.
Between for me, being from Compton is you and Barron. You know what I'm saying? It's one
that's
thing
my,
to see.
Bro, I got three stories to tell you right after you finish. I ain't
okay.
gonna cut you off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so like me obviously switching from I wore 24 my junior year. I'm like, nobody wear 24. This is before Kobe. So I'm just right. like, nobody wear 24, man. I don't wear this weak number because somebody stole 21. I was like looking up to Darius Miles because I was playing at 3.
Miles, he was in my draft, yeah.
So I'm playing at 3, and I was like, because I'm 03. So I'm like, damn, man, they stole 21. What's my next number? So I switched to 1. And you and BD both wore it. So it was like easy. But I also used to wear the headband, and I would do the whole – head tap shit too, but it was cool, you know what I mean? And obviously, like, as I got older, clearly I'm like, okay, I'm getting closer to this space of the NBA. I'm not
right.
gonna make it to the NBA hooping wise, but
you're getting closer.
Right. I'm starting to meet people, you know what I mean? And like,
right,
every person I met, it was either was like, yo, I played the video game with this person, like as a character, but then also I collected their cards or I watched them, and like now it's even more surreal, even though I look at it like we're all human beings. And we're not like putting anybody on a plateau, but it's just like you're heroes to like a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like I said,
that's
I know you're a very humble dude. You know what I mean? Like, and a role model in your community. Before I even met you, I used to be telling, you know, Alonzo Weatherby.
Yeah, for
Big
sure.
Zoe, that's my guy. So like, I'm like, yo, my sister lives in Federal Way. And I used to be like, yo, I got to get my nephew to go to Maul's camp or just to go see that because that's the representation he needs to see in general.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I had the Drew League to look up. I had Luther's Park.
Yeah.
I had different people that, you know, seeing Tyson get drafted from my high school, seeing coaching DeMar, you know what I mean, et cetera. Like, different stuff. I was watching it like, okay, you can do it too. So, like, I became, like, more of a mentor than anything just being around it. So, being actually able to do this pod with you, but then also – you know, build a relationship with you has been like really super cool for me.
Bro, I appreciate that. Like, you don't even have an idea. Like, I remember like literally being a kid, dog, like dreaming about this, like for real, like really dream. I could have told you every player that played, I was collecting cards. I was sneaking in Laker games. I was sneaking in Sonic games. Like, I used to dream about this, bro. People always ask how I dribble so well. And to be honest with you, in Seattle, it rains a lot. And for me, I would be out there working by myself. And I would be like, man, somebody's in LA, somebody's in Chicago, somebody's in New York right now working out. And they're gonna be better than you if you don't put the work in. So how everybody says, like, if you're not working right now as a kid right now, work, I was that kid. Like, I was that kid that was working, bro, like when nobody was there. You know, and that's where like my imagination just start coming into play. And that's where just the love of the game. But those three things I was gonna say is, that was one, I used to dream about this. Two, Barron was like everything to me because he's a couple years older than me. So when I was in LA sneaking to watch him play and seeing other tournaments, like Barron's one of the most talented players I've ever seen to this day, like in person. He's like, it was too easy for him. That was the perfect nickname for him at the record, right? And I told Barron, I have at my house a barbershop and I have pictures of all my inspirations when I was a kid growing up, like a different, you know, time point. So I got a picture of Barron in high school with the McDonald's gang. And I sent it to him and I was like, bro, like you gave me that fuel, like seeing you up close and seeing the talent, bro, you helped give me that fuel, that push I needed, whether you know it or not. Cause I'm really big on that. Like you just did. I'm really big on telling people that I love them, you know, cause you never know how life works out. And just in general, like I want them to enjoy that. And they don't know always the effect they had. So, that was the thing. And then the last thing was like, for me, that's what I'm most proud about myself. Like no matter the coaches, no matter the situations, you guys know hooping, like you could be at a school and your freshman year, you just score, right? You're the freshman coming in. Your sophomore is a new coach. He's like, well, I want you to be the passer now. Your junior is like, I want you to come off the bench now. Another coach coming in. Another coach coming in. Senior, like, well, we kind of building for the future, you know, just be a leader. You know, so all these different things happen. I've had 20 coaches in 20 years, right? So every year I basically had to adjust, and I never lost myself from my game for that. And I think that's why the culture messes with me so heavy. You know what I mean? Because I'll never change, because that's just me. And that wasn't a fancy thing. It was just, I've always found a way to adjust and still not lose who I was. And I think that's why the streets kind of really rock with me.
Yeah, it got to a point where I was not fighting people over you, but it was to a point where, well, you know what I mean? Like, it's a difference. Nah, you know? Like, I understand that people, you know, me actually being on the media side now, I have a little bit more respect for it.
Right.
But then I also sympathize as being a player. So right. My whole thing is like, you're not going to shoot great all the time. People also not going to factor in what's going on in your personal life and having to go suit up and still play. Or
we're not going to factor in, Trey, is I don't play the cover my ass stats. Like, oh, I'm not going to take this shot because it can mess up my percentage. I'm not going to take this half-court shot. Oh, there's two people on you. Throw me this bomb. I won't shoot it because it's a bet. No, I don't play that. I play to win. Like, if you guys have nephews or anything and I ask you, like, and they play, or younger guys, you guys know, I'm like, how they play? You're like, oh, he played well. You're not going to tell me, oh, he was 4-for-6 from the corner and 6-for-8 from the – I don't want to hear that shit. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it's a different time now. Did
he play good? Did he not? This need to work on. You know what I'm saying? And and that's, to me, the essence of basketball is being lost in some ways, in the art of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, for me, I don't play for stats.
Yeah.
Truth be told, if I did, I could have scored even more points to be all the way 100 with you. And I don't think I've ever said that. Like, I could have easily scored more points.
Yeah,
but I just never played selfish. That ain't my thing. And that I wouldn't have came off the bench. Like, there's so many sacrifices I wouldn't have made if that was my end goal.
Right. I think a lot of people don't add that into the science of everything, of like being unselfish, being able. Yeah, you can start. I remember you starting in Atlanta, and it was just like, okay, cool. And then you know, kind of took a back seat. And that's the thing. Like, I liked how you did in the Players Tribune, where you kind of compared it to a Jay album, and was just like the different stages. I thought that was really sick on that end.
I look at my career as albums. Like, everybody has their own favorite, right? Whatever. Yep. I even have my own favorite at times. So it depends on what it is. It doesn't mean any one is better than another. It's just the one that stuck with you the most, the one you remember the most, the one you love the most, right? So every album's different.
Yeah. So go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say, I think like certain people, you know, everybody has to make sacrifices for what they do and who they are. And I think, to me, at least as a fan, as like a lifelong basketball fan, and just fan of culture and arts, I think you made the right sacrifices because you were able to maintain who you are as an athlete. And like, that is going to live forever because you're that and you're the best version of that. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that. Yeah.
People look up to you and what you created from your style of play and how you play within all these different teams. And like you were saying, like all these different coaches, like people who are fans of the game and love the game will always love you for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And to be honest with y'all, because I mean, this is live. So like with the bubble, bro, and I'm not even saying it's cocky, but I'm going to say it like in the most humble way possible. I did well. Like the practices I was having and even the first game, like we played against the number one team. I ain't played a game in 16 months, bro.
Right.
And I had 5 points and 3 assists in 5 minutes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like, it's like I ain't missed a beat. And like, it confirmed and validated everything the team had been seeing in practice, the ones I was practicing in. So like, I can't wait, hopefully, to get this right and get back out there because I'm still – pretty good.
Yeah. From a fan side, and I had to remove my fan hat, obviously, on that, working on the other end, but I was super excited for you, man, you know, for you to, you know, get that opportunity, but then also, you know, come out there and get that love, whether, you know, even though it was, you know, kind of cut short a little bit, but I definitely feel like you're going to be back out there and being able to do your thing.
For sure, bro. I appreciate it.
So you mentioned albums, right? And you compared your career to albums. You've played in Chicago. Yeah. You played in New York. You played in Atlanta. You played in the Bay. You played in L.A. What's the best hip-hop scene?
Well, like, hip-hop started in New York, right? So that's going to be tough to beat. But obviously, everyone's kind of different. Like, just like in music, everybody has their own style. Like, L.A. style, you know what I mean? Smooth, different. So that culture is there for sure. Atlanta, they got their own style. But what's interesting, now that you made me think of something, what's interesting is I was always tapped in with the culture.
Right.
What I mean by that is when I was in Chicago. You know, I bump into Twista at times, right? Jamming with him. When I was in New York, obviously I was with Jay. When I was in Atlanta, me and Gucci got tight, right? Seeing T.I. and connecting with him. When I was in L.A. and I had my first shoe release, Kendrick stopped through. You know what I mean? So, like, always, like, J. Cole just sent me his shoes early the other day. I was repping them yesterday. So, like, I've always been connected to the culture no matter what. But in Oakland, it was 40 and short and Mr. Fab. You know what I mean? So I've always just been connected to the cultures. And like we said, part of that is, like, not every hood, but most of the inner cities really rock with me because I'm really representing them, you know? So it's always been all love on both sides.
What do you think? What does Outkast ATLiens album mean to you?
So you just really just pulling at my heartstrings, dog. That's the one person who I want to meet that I've never met. 3,000.
Who? 3,000?
Oh yes, I love her like Egyptian. On the description, my royal highness. So many pluses when I bust that can't be no modest. Went from yelling crickets and crows, bitches and hoes to queen things.
3,000 need to send me a he need to send my shirt. I bought a shirt from I ain't got it yet. But they said it should be here next week.
He gonna definitely get to me. Nobody can say nothing wrong about 3,000 for me. So
I don't know if I sent you my Andre 3,000 playlist too. I gotta get that to you. I got some stuff.
One person I wish I could meet.
Yeah,
sure.
Me too, bro. He's on my list. Like, I'm a Gemini, and he got his birthday is the day after mine. And, like,
okay.
And I've just been a fan of his, like, you know what I'm saying, for forever. And I remember when Love Below came out, and, you know, like, people was kind of on it, but it was, like, the first time where it was, like, is this too weird for us? You know, and then, like, it took a couple months for people to catch up, and then they was, like, no, he's on it.
Bro, the crazy part is, like, you know, you see Drake now, they see Kanye in recent years, five, 6 years ago. 3,000 is the first one I can remember, like, really singing while rapping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he kind of opened up that lane, that genre, and he's out of this world talented. Yep. Like, if I could be like him on the court, that'd be something. Like, he's out of this world talented. His peers know how good he is.
Yeah.
He could have went and did a solo thing, but he fit in the group and just stood out there in his lane.
Right.
The way he thinks about the world, every time he raps, he's saying something. Yeah. Right. It's always a message. He ain't never just rapping just because he got lips or because it sounds good. He's a message in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some comparisons there between you and him.
Yeah. That's the one person for sure.
Yeah. Nah. Andre's my guy.
That's my guy.
So you mentioned
he's on my wall. I'm gonna have to send you all. I'm gonna have to trade. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna send you a picture. I think I got one because it's maybe the one I sent to Baron, but I got like of pictures that are all on the wall. He's on there for sure.
Okay, for sure. So you mentioned how well you're playing before you got injured.
Yeah.
What is it like being in the bubble,
bro? You know it's crazy because I was out the bubble obviously for 4 months when the pandemic happened. It's as close to normalcy as possible. Like after you go through quarantine and everything. So for example, we get tested every single day, right? You can't even leave your room. You can't even go to, like, there's a main facility where everybody's team room is, where you get tested at. You can't even go in there. And that's why I got this watch on, if y'all can see it. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't light up green, that means you didn't fill out the questionnaire. You got to fill out a questionnaire every single day before you go get tested. So like before I came here, I hadn't even given nobody DAP in 4 months. Just because of COVID and everything, you know what I'm saying? So it's just weird, like, after this is over with, going back to how things are outside, because it's so, like, it's a bubble for real. So it's, like, as close to normal as possible. I see other teams all the time. I went to the gym the other night. Me and Karis went, me and Vert, and Westbrook, Russ was on the other end shooting. So it's just, like, dude, it's like the dopest AAU tournament, for real. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody's the same hotel, everybody – so it's dope.
All right. So what's the craziest pickup game you've been in?
The craziest one, I would say, I was going to say the night I got married because, okay, that one meant the most because it's like my bachelor party was with basically 5,000 people at an open gym, me, CP. Like, so that one meant the most. The next day, I'm getting married. But the craziest one I actually played in was probably the one with me, Michael Jordan, Ray Allen, I think Mike Finley, Tim Hardaway, there's a bunch of people in that game. And that was one of our tougher games, and we won. And I remember Jay-Z and Beyonce was there watching. So that was like that? one of the last at Hoops. That was one of the last days of that summer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, were you on the same team with Mike?
Yeah, we never lost. Two straight summers. And listen, Jay, listen, you got to wrap your mind around this when I say this. When I say we didn't lose, it wasn't like we played five games that day. We won three, they won two, so we won the day.
Yeah.
We never lost a single game within that for two straight years.
Yeah.
So that was like Antoine Walker was there. That was like that was probably the best pickup game I ever played.
Yeah, because like I had like a realization when I got to high school. You know, I used to play basketball as a kid, but then when I got to high school and I started seeing like the best players in LA play basketball, and I realized like, oh, in practice, like these guys don't miss.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know that, like, as a kid, like, until you see somebody who's on that next level, right? Yeah. It's the same thing with music and everything else, right? Until you, like, sit in the studio with Kendrick or Dom or Nip, you're like, oh, like, he's got 100 tight songs I've never heard. Like,
right, yeah.
So, like,
that's crazy, right?
Yeah. So, it's like, for you guys, I'm sure, like, you guys are kind of the next level of guys who don't miss in the gym. Like,
unless. And it's crazy because that game I'm talking about, I remember it got intense. Like, you got to think these are all, like, superstar players. I'm just a young dude coming up. These are all superstar players. Right. And you can feel, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce is watching a pickup game. Right. Like, you can feel the intensity of that game and the pride kicking in, right? So, it really went from here to here.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like that. So, if you, whoever won that game, it was, like, it was on. I remember that. Yeah. I hit one of the last shots, I think.
Yeah.
MJ was pumped. Like, it was one of the moments. It was a big moment. Yeah.
Out of all the places that you played in the league, like, what place do you miss the most?
So my two favorites was New York and LA.
Yeah.
And for different reasons. New York, because it felt like I was on stage performing. Like, for real.
Yeah.
I remember one time Samuel L. Jackson came to the game.
Yeah.
And I wasn't playing that game. And he was sitting courtside, I think, with Spike, and he looked across the court. And he was like, "You're not playing?" I'm like, I had something wrong with my hand. I think I missed a couple. I'm like, "No, my hand." He's like, "Oh, like I only came to see you play." I'm like, "Dang, that's one of my favorite actors." Like,
right, that's
so
it.
That part of it was crazy with New York. And then you just never knew who he was going to be at the game, right? Like, I had a lot of relationships I made with people there just from being with the Knicks and everything. And then LA, because sort of the same thing, but that was the best chance to me I had to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So that part of it, you know what I mean? So we definitely have people there, but just, yeah, the Clippers, just the fact that, don't talk about the Clippers like we have I saw where you're going with this stuff, but yeah, that's your second Clipper shot. The first one I wasn't involved in, when you talk about Jordan, but when you came to the second one, I had to stand strong. So that one, we had a chance to win a championship, and then that was my favorite too.
Go ahead, Trey.
No, I was going to say, so you had, I guess, a signature shoe with, or you were under the umbrella of the S. Doc Carter.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I was one of the only ones to
How was it like hooping in, like, I guess it's a mid or a high? I had the lows, because I remember Hov did the freestyle.
Yeah, now the lows you can't, right.
Him and 50 did the commercial, and he was saying how they remixed the old school Gucci, right? Stop taking off, G4's about the land. See how we cross brand, we boss about it, man. Got the soul of the old Gucci's. If you upset, sue me. If not, sit back and watch me do me.
Yeah, there's the studio.
How did that come about, you inking with Reebok and doing that? And then also, how was the comfort of that shoe? And then also, how you and Jay-Z get tight?
Wow. So it all kind of goes from one step to another. I remember I got so tight with MJ. I was like, man, I want to meet Jay-Z. He's like, you want to meet Jay-Z? I'm like, yeah. He never said okay or nothing. He's like, you know, he walked off. And I don't know if he told – you guys know World Wide West. I don't know if he told him that. He probably did, knowing now, looking back. But after I tore my ACL with them, or working out at the gym, it was – you know, there's like a – gap between, like you're doing now, right? So there's a gap when you get hurt that you don't just go right to surgery, kind of wait. And so during that gap, I was walking without crutches. I had my knee drained and everything. And I remember Wes was like, I saw him on the street, him, MJ, everybody on the street. They was about to walk in a restaurant or a lounge. And Wes was like, why are you not in your crutches? I'm like, no, it's not time for that. You know, I'm good for now. And when I get up to him, he's standing outside the truck, but it doesn't look like there's nothing special about the truck. So when I walk him across the street, when I get almost face to face with Wes and we answer each other, the window goes down and it's Jay. I'm like, oh, I said, oh, right? So I'm like, oh, and we meet, whatever. But I had met him a couple times in the gym, but like actually really meeting him, I'm like, oh man. So hold on, let me go back. That story is right, but I think I met him before he came to the gym at Hoops that time, because that was the first time I actually met him. Then he came to the gym after that. So when he came that day at Hoops, he kind of had a familiarity with me because he had kind of met me a little bit. But anyways, so I went from that to, I remember he called me. We were, you know, stay texting or whatever. But he called me. He's like, yo, I need you to come to the Rucker and play. He's like, but I can't lose. We cannot lose. And he called. I never answered and identified numbers, but I answered that day. I don't know why. So he's on the phone. And I'm like, all right, I'm like, cool. I was like, can I bring my guy, Eddie Curry? He's like, yeah, for sure. So I told Eddie, and we start going to New York to play the Rucker every week, right? So from there, like, from there, our relationship just grew. This one, he had first opened to 40-40, so we was going to 44. We had a whole routine. So after that, you know, I'm with Reebok, and he's obviously doing his thing with Reebok. And then Steve Stout hit me, and he was like, yo, like, we come out with the shoe, what would you think about wearing basketball shoes? I'm like, and everybody knows how much I love Jay. So I'm like, man, I didn't care what it looked like, felt like. I was like, I'm doing it. They're like, no, you got to actually like try. I'm like, man, I'm good. So they sent me the shoe. The first time I wear the shoe, it was the same shoe you had, but high tops. There was nothing different about it. So the first time I wear it, we played Philly. And AI was like, yo, you can wear them? Like, he thought the same thing. Like, it was low tops. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. Anyways, I was cool. I wore them again. So that was my last year in Chicago. My first year in New York, they had the same shoe. Then my next year in New York, they made a basketball shoe. Jay was like, I got to get you a basketball shoe. Like, I can't have you out here wearing these and shoes. So that's when it just took off. And our relationship stayed tight to this day.
Man, that's so crazy because, yeah. Like, I met
– I'm sorry it was long-winded. But
nah, it's not long-winded.
Back memories, bro.
That's a great story, man.
I'm going to see if you can find this. I'm going to show you this. Tell me if you guys can see this. Somebody just sent me an old picture. I was in the Dime magazine.
Okay.
And Trey, I'm not putting nothing against you, so I'm almost sure you can find it in person. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine just sent me this picture since we're talking about it. I'm going to show you this. Check this out. Can y'all see this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a fur on with the rock chain on that Jay gave me.
You still got that rock chain?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that was like my last year in Chicago.
Okay, somebody that's sick. The other day. Where was that picture at? That was a photo shoot?
I was in the Dime magazine. I'm going to show you another picture that was in that magazine too. So this right here. So you see those two Jordans right there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the first and last pair that MJ signed for me and gave to me that he wore against the Bulls. And if you look really hard, I know you can't see it, but my jersey signed by him too, the Wizards jersey. But,
oh, sick.
Yeah, this is all in the Dime magazine.
Yeah.
From like 03, 04. You got to go find that track.
Yeah, I definitely get it. Yeah. Man, I actually got some buddies that was at Dime, so I'm sure they can work something out for me. But yeah, man, that's sure. Definitely a cool story, man, because I met Hov during the 20th anniversary of Reasonable Doubt. And
I was at the 10th anniversary concert.
Okay, so they did a pop-up. This is when pop-ups was finally making this wave. Well, not making this wave, but kind of getting kind of trendy in Los Angeles. And this is when Jay went vegan and all this other shit, right? So we're going through the door, and it's me, T.A., Trevor Reza, my homie Steve Moore was with Brandon Jennings, and like another guy, Will Maul, from Joe Budden podcast. And we're in there and we're just chilling, but like nobody like told us like, yo, Jay may come through, because it wasn't open to the public yet. We got the early access, so we're kind of just sitting around. They're playing Reasonable Doubt. I'm just rapping along. And he was like, he comes over and he's just like, yo, you really know, you know, what you know about this? And I was looking and I was like, and I got this shocked face, right? So I was sitting there and he's like, he reaches his hand out and he's like, I'm Sean.
My name is Jay. What's your name?
Yo.
Ellen, what are you doing?
Ellen. Make music.
Great. Did you just do a performance?
Well, I'm on my way to a performance in Brooklyn at the New Brooklyn Arena.
Oh, that's... Oh,
no video,
yeah. I'm like, bro, don't do that. Like, I know who you are, bro. Right. You hold log, like, you know what I'm saying? But it was a cool, it's definitely a cool experience to meet him and stuff like that. But like, I always, you know, just being in a sneaker community, I always trip off of you hooping in those, but then also like, you know, the fan side, you know, I think I tweeted you before we started following each other, like, yo, if you still got them, like, let me get a pair.
I'll be really looking for them.
I remember who had a bunch of yours because my godbrother was going to UW. He was going to go to UW, and I think Will Conroy was his host.
Yeah,
and
he probably
He went to he didn't give them to him, but he went to Will's house, and when he went to Will's house, you had laced him, so he had every colorway. I'm talking about the colorways that you ain't never seen, all that. He was just like, he wasn't thinking about it at that particular time to ask Will because he was gonna go. Romar was really on his case, and then Bobby Jones, actually me and Bobby Jones is really close
at and that Bob time. Actually went
I have a few
at my house that are never coming out, but I had like, bro, I literally had like hundreds in my apartment in New York. You can ask Trev, because Trev was upstairs. We're in the same building. Mm-hmm. And so at my apartment in New York, I literally had hundreds of pairs. When you walked in my apartment, I didn't, like, I wasn't trying. It looked like a Foot Locker. I didn't have no space for it. So I set it all right in the front living room. They were like a Foot Locker, bro. And I still have a bunch of them. It's just storage, but a lot of them are never coming out.
Shit, I'm a 9.5 if you got them.
Oh, no, that was my size. That's the only
thing. Oh, right, right.
Listen, Jay, I don't want your size. I just want them autographed. So I can put them in a glass.
Once I get out of storage, I got you.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just going to say real quick, Trey, since we was trading Jay-Z meeting stories, I actually met Jay at the Kanye 808s and Heartbreaks album release. And it was like, this was like when Kanye was first getting real weird. Like, you know, he had like 50 naked women in the middle of the thing. Like,
yeah, he's doing his own thing.
Like, yeah, and it was pitch black. And it was like all, like, you know what I'm saying? All the who's who in the industry is there. And I'm just like, what? And so my homegirl, this girl, Miss Diddy, she was actually on College Dropout as like the bootleg queen and all of this stuff. So,
oh, wow.
So she's in there. She and I had known Kanye since then. Like, I met him through my mentor, who's a producer. He had me like meet Kanye when he was working on the College Dropout, whatever, whatever. So years pass. Everybody's in the spot. The album starts playing. It's pitch black. Whatever. I'm just there vibing. I'm with the homegirl. She's like, "Yo, you want to meet Jay?" And I'm like, "You mean Jay-Z?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah. He's right over here." And so I turn around like two steps. He's standing right there, you know what I'm saying? Shake his hand. And I didn't fan out, but I for sure told him, I'm like, bro, you're low key my hero. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's real.
And he was just like, oh, for sure, that's what's up. And then, like, literally, like 30 seconds later, Amazing came on. And it was like the first time I heard it, the Jeezy and Kanye.
Oh, wow.
So the beat's just rocking, and I'm just standing there next to Jay, just looking at him, giving him that face, like, this is stupid.
Yeah,
that was my little moment with Ho, like, you know,
that's crazy, bro. Like, he got a him and MJ specifically got like an aura about them. You know what I mean? Like, Jay got a, it's different though. So MJ is like a glow.
Yeah,
I promise, there's like a glow around it when he walk in. Like, damn, like, it's unbelievable. I've never seen it with nobody else.
Hey, that's Mike,
bro. I've never seen it with nobody else. And Jay's just like, you know, he's there, but he always got the vibe like he's the coolest dude in the room. And him, you know what I mean? Like, he just always got that vibe. Like,
yeah,
he's the coolest dude in the room. So it's dope for sure.
Let me ask you, what was going through your mind the first time you played in a real game against your son?
to be honest with you, me and him looked at it as different perspectives. Like, he was looking at it like, I'm about to tear dad's head off. I've been waiting for this. And I was looking at it like, this is wow. Like, the fact that, like, I'm playing against my son in my own pro-am. Like, so he was looking at it as, like we talked about, as the young gunner coming. I'm looking at it from the Wiley veteran, like, wow, this is crazy. You know, so two totally different perspectives, and both of them was cool.
Yeah.
And we both got a chance to, like, really enjoy that. And that was just, like, dope. But I made sure my team won. I can't let him beat me. We played one-on-one. Bro, we played one-on-one, I think, 12 times before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of like helped keep me sharp and keep my skills sharp, because pandemic, I wasn't going nowhere. You know what I mean? So to get a chance to play with him one-on-one, he's athletic and he's 6'4", and, you know, like, it kept me sharp, yeah, for sure. Thank you for him.
Yeah. What's been the most important part of your life outside of the game?
Keeping my faith in God. You know, I think when I do that, it helps me make the right decisions, and it guides me the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it keeps me centered. It keeps my humility. It keeps my being grateful, staying appreciative. Like, I think that's the center for everything. My family, like, those two things, it's like the most important. And then I'm able to work outwardly. I'm better for people after those two are, like, you know, I feel good about everything. Mm-hmm. I'm able to be a blessing to people and have more energy for people and be like, you know, I think those things keep me centered.
Yep.
So yeah. I got really a 1A, 1B question, clearly. Okay. Since this is part two of your interview.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to ask you for 18-year-old advice, but then also since you graduated to OG, what's your advice for the 30-year-olds too? So you got two. Oh. So what was your advice for 18-year-old Maul? And then what's your advice for 30-year-old Maul?
My advice for 18-year-old Maul is to have your dreams and chase them, like, wholeheartedly. Be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes if that's what you believe in. Like, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take, like, staying motivated, staying hungry, not making the wrong decisions. At that age, it's really easy to follow the crowd. It's really easy to, you know, get sidetracked. There's always a distraction coming at you. So I would just say stay focused. Those are the main things for me. You know, keep God first. 30-year-old, I'm going to say, you know, you got to – for me, at that time, it's the time to start your legacy. As far as in the community, like, when you really take a step forward of – you was thinking you may have had an idea you wanted to give to the community, but you weren't sure you was ready for it. 30-year-old, it's time. You got to take a step. You know, you'll be surprised, even if you're kind of hesitant taking that step, you'll be surprised the good that comes out of it, you know, and how far you could go, and it can lead you to the next step. So the 30-year-old would be more so your legacy in the community, your legacy with your family, if you have one. If you don't, being a mentor to kids, a younger generation coming up, because you know what their future looks like because you're living it, whether they know it or not. They're like, I'm 18. I got to worry about that now. At 30, you're like, no, I've been there. You know, so I think actually being a leader in your community and definitely being, you know, a mentor in that regard. That would be my advice for 30-year-old.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Crawford, a.k.a. Wave God Senior, a.k.a. the Hoop Vampire, a.k.a. Mr. Six Man. Thank you again, bro, for joining us.
Yeah, bro, thanks, anytime. Molly. You know what I think we're going to do? I think we're just going to have to, like, we're just going to have to keep the parts going, bro. Like,
hey,
you know,
listen,
I mean?
I could do a straight series with you, bro, but we're just talking right. about is, life and all
this
kinds
is like
of
a
stuff.
Series in the works, bro. Yeah, this is no lie. I don't think I've ever done a back-to-back with nobody in interview, so we're just going to have to keep going. The trilogy, then it's going to be we're gonna keep the whole
listen,
thing, the
listen,
blueprint,
it's,
and we're just
gonna
keep
good,
going
bro.
Off of it.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.